Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're continuing in our study and thinking and understanding of revive, particularly in the situations where we're breaking the chains of bondage, whether we're breaking them off of ourselves to be the people we've had the vision and desire to be, or we're helping someone else break the chains of bondage. There's four simple steps that we've been looking at. The first one is honesty. Just getting honest with yourself, getting honest with God, and getting honest with the Word of God. The next is humility. Allowing the Word of God to really be the Word of God and God's will, and put ourselves in subjection to that word. When we're looking at it in the context of revive and breaking the chains, the next part is confession and renunciation, which I'll handle today. Confession kind of has three parts to it, or three ways of looking at it. First, confessing our sins, where we're out of alignment and harmony with the will of God. Then there's also a confession in what you speak to yourself, or what you shouldn't be speaking to yourself. And then confession, what we should speak. I want to deal first with out of alignment and harmony with the will of God. Because Satan tries to make us afraid of God, so we don't confess our sins, we don't come to God. And when we hide from God, we're hiding from our deliverance. There's a great record in Genesis chapter 3 that I'd like to take you to and kind of cover it with you. And that's in Genesis chapter 3. And it's what we refer to as the fall of man with Adam and Eve. But in Genesis chapter 3, I really want to pick it up from verse 8. It says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Really something. They hid themselves. And like I say, when you hide yourself from God, you're hiding from deliverance. Because God, there is nothing that God's arms can't reach. You can't fall so far that you fall away from the wonderful arms of God to lift you back up and set you upon your high places in Christ. Don't provide a cover for Satan and a camouflage for sin. God sees right through it, and you do too, and he will help you. It says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was" what?
Afraid.
And the adversary will always make the accusations so that you are afraid to go to God. You're afraid because of the accusations he's made concerning hellfire and brimstone and all these other different things that you know, God despises sin, therefore he doesn't want to look at sin. And if I've sinned, where do I go? What do I do? All these things that the adversary has spoken about God, and we have perpetuated it in our doctrine and in our teaching. But I want you to see the truth of this, because God is not one to be afraid of. Our God is a healer, and our God is a deliverer. Our God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And he loves us. Well, because I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And, people that I've heard tend to read this, it's more, you know, "Have you been eating of the tree that I told you not to?" kind of thing. I doubt it sounded anything like that. I think God is very wonderful and very loving. Well, and the man said, "The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did what? Eat." That sounds like a confession to me. I've heard other people teach this, and then he's saying, well, he's throwing the blame off on the woman. No, he's giving an accurate record. That's exactly what happened. God gave him that woman. It's that woman that talked him into it. And then it doesn't say she forced me to eat. It says what?
I did eat.
That sounds like a confession. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what do you think he did for Adam? Even though it's written in 1 John 1:9, God doesn't change. He's always been that way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He was then, he is now, and will forever be. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, Adam just got cleansed. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did what?" Sounds like a confession to me. I think it says in Corinthians that she was beguiled by the subtlety of the serpent. Is she giving an accurate record of it? Yes, absolutely. And she said, "I what?" So what do you think God did for her? Well, he is faithful and just. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do you think he did for Eve? Forgave her and cleansed her. Absolutely. See, we have no need to be afraid of God. We have no need to believe the disinformation we have received concerning the nature and the love of God. Well, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." pretty accurate record. He doesn't even say, "And I am cursing you." It says what? "Thou art cursed. Because you did this, you are cursed." That's why I told you, and I keep sharing with you, the devil doesn't attack us because you are evil. He attacks because he is evil. He doesn't attack you because you are darkness. He attacks because he is darkness. He is cursed because he is cursed. He curses because he is cursed. We ought to just let the word really set some great truths for us and live our lives in light of it. Well, and then it goes on to verse 15. Did Adam and Eve confess? Yes, they did. And you ought to read the rest of how God went to work then to protect Adam and Eve. It's really a wonderful record. David also, look at Psalm 32. Let's take a look at this great psalm, this great truth. Never be afraid to come to God. He will help you. He is a wonderful healer and a deliverer. And a forgiver. In Psalm 32, verse 5, "And David was a man after God's own heart." David was a very wise, wonderful man. Did he do things wrong? Absolutely. But it says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Look at the 119th Psalm. Here's an exhortation in this great psalm. And in Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Dominion is authority. It's rulership. Do not give legitimacy to the evil spirit's realm as attacks against you. Don't allow it. Never give them the legitimacy because they do not have the right. You are righteous. God has made you righteous in Christ Jesus. You have been redeemed. He has no legal ground on which to stand. Don't you give him any legitimacy. Don't give up your authority and allow sin to have dominion over me. Just don't allow it. Do not allow them the opportunity to remain and afflict our lives. We should never let that. Don't let them have the authority. And when I say don't let them have the authority, is when you want to stop something and you cannot. That is when we really need God's intervention in our lives, and intervention through ministers, through wonderful brethren. But we should not allow them to overtake our dominion. And you have right to have dominion over yourself. And when you want to stop something and you can no longer stop it, you can't stop it, then we need to get some help and we need to get some deliverance. Well, I said that confession is when we confess when we're out of alignment and harmony with the will of God. We ought to confess it because God forgives us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. The next confession is things that we say to ourselves or should not say. This is what the scriptures call cursing. You know, it's not you dirty, rotten chicken kisser or, some four-letter word or however multiple-letter words that have mother attached or all these other things. That's not the cursing we're talking about. That's not the cursing really the scriptures are talking about. It is the curses you put against yourself that allows the adversary to take those words and then empower them and use them against you. When I say curse, we curse ourselves, and at times we even curse our children. And we need to stop that. Like saying to your child, you're stupid. That was just a stupid thing, something like that. You just can't do anything right. Maybe you tell yourself that, or you tell yourself that you're stupid. It has no place for you or for your children. Those are, you're placing curses on them. Look at you. You're ugly. And when your mind and your heart, you get to the place and I've heard children say this and I've heard adults say this, when you wish you were never born. My goodness. Or even worse, when you wish you were dead. Never allow the adversary to then take those words, empower them, and make you eat them, so to speak. See, We not only invite evil into our lives that way, but we even provide the very words that Satan will take and empower against us. Be careful on how you speak to yourself, to your children, and even to others. Beloved of God, stop that immediately. Don't allow those words to pass through your mouth. If you look in the mirror and hate what you see, you are in the chains of bondage. I'd like to go to Corinthians. I'm just thinking of this verse, and I'm not exactly sure where it is, so just bear with me. Where it talks about we're changed from one glory to the other. Let's see. I can't think of where it is, but if you look in the mirror and hate what you see, you are in the chains of bondage. But God can and will set you free. John 8:31, and Jesus said to them, if you, let's go there, John 8. Jesus said unto those disciples, where is it? Here we go. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
That's how we get free. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's the verse I was looking for. Why don't we go ahead and read that together? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why you cannot tell yourself those things. You cannot hate what you see. You should joy and rejoice at what you see. Don't you joy in the Lord? Don't you joy in Christ? Well, he is in you. And the truth is, when you look in the mirror, you ought to see the glory of the Lord. And that's, don't allow the misinformation that the world and the adversary through the world, Satan, as he works through the world, give you those impressions. They are wrong. They are lies. And you can't live on lies. See, break the bondage and God will set you free. He will. The word of the Lord beautifies you. I remember my wife went, actually it was even before she went for an interview at this place where she works, and the person, she was just, they were just kind of chatting, and the person just said, I love you, can I hug you? You know, I mean, that's such a violation, you know, nowadays. But she was willing to take the chance because she was so excited about it. See, I've known people who despise the way that they look, always complaining how much they hate their hair. And then I've seen the evil spirit empower those words, and they had no hair because they wound up having to go through chemotherapy. It's a curse against yourself. Do you understand that? Do you see that? You're cursing yourself, and it allows the spirit realm then to gain access and gain legitimacy in your heart and then attack you with things that will comply with your desire. You know, I hate my hair. I wish I never had. I'd rather be bald. Do you want to? Okay, here you go. Don't allow them that kind of access to your lives. I'm not saying that, you know, every person who's ever had chemotherapy was because you hated your hair. That's silly. But do you see the point that I'm getting at, where the adversary can then move in and empower those words in an evil way against you and use them against you? And I've known people where that has happened. All the evil ones have ever done is cause pain and torment. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. God will set you free. He can and he will. I've watched people who thought they were finding pleasure become enslaved in lust and suffer under the torment of the evil spirit realm. I've witnessed this. But God can and will set you free. The devil and all the evil spirit realm are cruel masters. They may put something in front of you that seems so nice, so pleasurable, so relaxing, so this, so that, and then there's thorns right behind it. And he is a cruel master. He has no mercy. That's just the way he is. And if you play around with it, you're going to see he has no mercy. And when you want to quit, you're unable to quit because he has no mercy. There are no valuable assets that the adversary has. He has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. He comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Don't give him access to your life. Go to God, and he can deliver you, and he will set you free. You can go on the internet at any time, and you can see what the evil spirit realm has done to people who hate the way their eyes look, hate the way their lips are not puffy enough or whatever, full enough. And no matter what they do, it's not enough, and they cannot stop themselves. And people say evil or an evil spirit realm doesn't exist. Like I say, you're free to think whatever you want to think. But I know how to get people free from this. I know what the word and the scriptures say concerning the evil spirit realm. They are cursing themselves through their own confession or cursing one another by what they're saying. Look at Proverbs chapter 26. Let's go to Proverbs. And I'm sharing this with you because I am very serious about this, and it is a very serious topic. And I told you I was going to speak very frankly, and I will. Because I'm speaking the truth to you, and I desire to help you. And if you can do it on your own, wonderful. But if you cannot, there are ministers of God who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are willing to help you in these cases. In Proverbs 26, verse 2, listen to this. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. A curse needs someone to speak it and a place to land or a target. if you watch a bird, it may look like they're just kind of wandering, flitting around from here to there. I assure you they are not. They are either pursuing something to eat or they have a very specific thing that they're after. What it's saying here, it's a little hard to read, but they do have a specific purpose. When they fly south for the winter, they have a very specific course they follow. They have a way of judging how the circulation in the air rises and all these different things and how it will take them to where they want to go. I understand, and I've heard, that hummingbirds here in North Indiana, almost to the Canadian line, fly to South America for the South America, having trouble saying these things. They fly to South America for the winter. Do you know how far that is? And how do they not get lost? But they have a very specific flight plan. And it may vary because of the way the winds change and things change. But they end up exactly where they want to go without a map, without GPS or anything else. What it's saying is they are very specific, and so is that curse. There is a cause. And as ones who have the ministry of reconciliation and God having committed to us the word of reconciliation, we should guard our tongues in what we say. Like I've unfortunately heard believers say, "Oh, he's possessed. She's possessed." Do not do that. Don't curse them. That is not right. If you want to help somebody, help somebody. You want to deliver somebody, deliver somebody. But just to be chatting to show off how mature I am and how I know he's possessed, she's possessed, da-da-da-da-da. Unless you're planning to help them, keep your mouth closed, because you are cursing them. A curse needs someone to speak it and a target to land. Don't allow the adversary to use you that way. You're a wonderful believing one who has the ministry of reconciling men and women back to God. And you've been committed the word of reconciliation. You're possessed is not the word of reconciliation. She's possessed. That's not words of reconciliation. That is a curse, and it's finding a place to land. Now, if you've done that, confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to what? Forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. See, but don't let that happen. We are responsible for the words that we speak. When it talks about every word, there's a record of every word or all these things that people talk about. There is a responsibility to speak the truth in love. And we should do that to help people. Never use the word of God as a hammer on someone or a point of ridicule. That's not what the word of God is for. Gosh, it's this same word that delivers us and heals us. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And that's what we should be doing with it. See, I'm very serious about this. Let's go to James chapter 3. And God knows it, because it's been done. In James chapter 3, it says in verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poisons." It can be. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the similitude of God." In other words, born again believers. And we speak these terrible things. When we have a ministry of reconciling men and women back to God, we have the word to reconcile men and women back to God. And to say you're possessed is not part of those words of reconciliation that's been committed unto us. See? It's really something. "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and" what? "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Shouldn't be. See? So then, what should I confess? Well, how about I confess that I've been delivered from the powers of darkness by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How about that one? You want something to confess about yourself? I've been delivered from the power of darkness by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then, and of course, there are many other words, like, "I know and believe the love that God hath for me." "I am righteous in Christ Jesus. I have been given authority over all the power of the enemy." Those kinds of things. Then there's the renunciation. And I guess I confess I've been delivered from the powers of darkness by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good way to renounce the darkness. But the word renounce means to give up. And one of the greatest meanings is to revoke by announcement. To announce and revoke where you had been giving him power and authority, and now you are saying, "You no longer have any power and authority over me. I've been delivered by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have no right. You have no place in my life. Be gone in that powerful and precious name of my wonderful Lord and Savior who loved me and saved me. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ." The works of darkness, renounce them. Tell the evil spirit realm, "You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord, and that they have no right or part in your life. We are not afraid of God, and his love has freed me from fear, even of you, the evil spirit realm." And speak words of reconciliation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll show you this, and maybe this is a verse you can contemplate on of great truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. "Therefore, Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Isn't that beautiful? It's the hidden things of this. You know, it's very subtle. It's all in the fields of darkness. And what he wants to do is to keep it dark. To keep it hid. Well, you're not alone in this. You have a God of light. You have a Lord of light. And you have brethren who are lights in this world that can help dispel the darkness, get rid of the darkness, and relieve your life. And finally, I want to look at a record where the believing ones took heed of this, and that's in Acts chapter 19. So if you'll go with me there. See, we have a great life to live, and we can live it in the light. We can live it right out in the open sun with joy in our souls because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 19, we'll start in verse 18. It says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds," or their practices. It's the Greek word praxis, their practice. Beautiful. Many that what? They're born again ones. Many born again ones came and confessed and showed their practices. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Not to make a great show, but to say, I am over with this. This has no place in my life. If you were an alcoholic, would you keep a bottle on your mantelpiece and say, I've overcome that? Or would you just get rid of it? See, they got rid of the pornography. They got rid of the sites that they used to go to and look at and all of those kinds of things. I know it doesn't read that in here, but, you know, knowing how the adversary works and knowing our culture, all these different things that entice men and women, all these different things, dating sites where I went on it and within 10 minutes I got a flirt. No. No. Let's get rid of that. Gambling and all of those kinds of things. What they did was they brought the books together and burned them before all men. It was all the believing ones. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So what? Yeah, but I mean, 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money, but look at the cost it was to redeem us back to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to trade what he earned for you for 50,000 pieces of silver or any amount? And we're getting caught up in these things, and we really shouldn't. You can be freed. You can be delivered. And verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God, and what? It prevailed in the lives of the beloved ones, and it prevailed in their hearts, and they grew mightily. First, it grew in them, and it grew mightily in the area, and it prevailed. That means they were set free. They were healed. They were delivered. Why? Because he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Bless your hearts.